Some Shrine is discussing the various aspects of deen, for example, the aqaid, the fundamental beliefs of a person, ibadat, the various acts of worship we have discussed, social dealings, how we should interact with other people, etc. Now today we will discuss one branch of deen, which is termed as akhlaq, our character. So, Ya Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentioned the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu idkhulu fi silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. That O believers, enter into Islam and submission completely, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan, surely he is your open enemy. This verse commands us to enter into complete Islam. This means that we should accept every law and adopt it practically. By adopting any other path, we will be following in the path of shaitan. Islam refers to a complete system of life which has been mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. This includes aqaid, fundamental beliefs, ibadat, the formal acts of worship, mu'amalat, our business transactions, mu'asharat, social etiquettes, and akhlaq, character. When all of these are found within a person, his Islam will then be complete. All these departments have to be found, all these branches have to be found in the life of a person. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, noble character dissolves sins just as salt dissolves ice. An evil character destroys worship just as vinegar destroys honey. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the most beloved to me and the one closest to me in the year after will be the one whose character is good, and the one most disliked by me and the most furthest away from me in the year after will be the one whose character is evil. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, he who is deprived of softness has been deprived of all goodness. Noble characteristics which needs to be imbibed are, repentance, patience, gratitude, fear and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disinclination from the world, modesty, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sincerity. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the sunnah, visualizing that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching. Taking stock of one's good and evil actions daily, pondering over the creation of Allah ta'ala, and ma'rifat and azmah, attaining the recognition and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fulfilling of promises, tawadu, which is humility, mercy and compassion, to be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision, to have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forbearance, handing over matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and conviction. These are all regarded to be noble characteristics. Evil characteristics which have to be eradicated are vanity, pride, carrying tales, malice, jealousy, excessive and uncontrollable anger, desiring evil for somebody, thinking evil of someone, love of the world, habit of engaging in useless and impermissible speech, backbiting, lies, stinginess, show and ostentation, excess lust, evil glancing, and love for those prohibited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, successful is he who has purified his nafs, and unsuccessful is the one who has soiled it with evil and vices. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily in the body there is a piece of flesh. If that piece is correct, the whole body will be correct. If that piece is corrupt, the whole body will be corrupt. Behold, it is the heart. Firstly, it is necessary to acquire knowledge of the evil and noble characteristics. If a person does not realize that he is sick, he will never take treatment. After realizing one's illness, one needs to remedy the sickness. It is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world to utilize means. Just as a physically ill person needs to go to a doctor for treatment, a spiritually ill person also needs to proceed to a spiritual doctor for treatment. And that is who we term as the mashayikh. Actually, there is a greater need for the following reasons. Physical illnesses are easily discerned, while spiritual illnesses are hidden and not recognized. It is not compulsory to take treatment for physical illness, but it is permissible. It is a sunnah if a person takes treatment for physical illnesses. However, it is compulsory to take treatment for spiritual illnesses and rid oneself of these ailments. Number three, as long as a person has a physical illness, he is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spiritual illnesses cause a person to be in the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Number four, physical illnesses cause a person to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since they remind one of death. Spiritual illnesses causes a person to become distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation. Number 5. Physical illnesses terminate with death, but the harmful effects of spiritual illnesses remain in the hereafter. By remaining in the company of a spiritual guide, many benefits will be derived. Few are which, number 1, the qualities in the Shaykh will gradually come into one, on condition that the Shaykh is also of that level as well, as Maulana mentioned now. Number 2, a person will become aware of his faults. Number 3, a person will gain enthusiasm as well as courage to engage in more acts of worship and abstain from sin. Number 4, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be created in the heart. Number 5, a person will be cured by the spiritual treatments, as there is blessings in their teachings. Number 6, a person will attain their du'as. Number 7, their hearts are illuminated by the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By remaining in their company, one will attain this light. When light appears, darkness flees. Though through this light, the reality of things become exposed and doubts disappear. Together with effort, one should make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for purification of one's soul. Allah ta'ala says, if it is not for the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, none of you would have ever become purified. However, Allah ta'ala purifies whomsoever He wishes. There is no end limit to one's reformation. In other words, the Shaykh is only the means. The actual du'a is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Purification is from Allah. But this is the means that a person has to adopt. The moment a person is left, he will begin slipping. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts from evil characteristics, imbue it with beautiful qualities, and grant us His love and connection. Ameen. Inshallah, now next we will be having a program by Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Netar Sahib. The Maulana is from Pietermaritzburg. He's the Imam of Masjid al-Salihin in Pietermaritzburg, and he is teaching as well.
Ahmadu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem wa ma'adab. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. وقال تعالى يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء وقال تعالى ومن لم يجعل الله له نورا فما له من نور صدق الله العظيم. Sitting here on a chair, and alhamdulillah, Mr. Duncan sat down on the floor. The more closer to the ground and the more humility you got, the one sitting on the chair, the water, and you look at the water, a bubble is on top of the water. And the bubble is empty, unfortunately. So, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the qualities of humility, inshallah. Just few points come to mind. I have one subject in mind, but because of time constraint, Allah gives a tawfiq on another occasion of an opportunity, we'll discuss, inshallah, in detail. First and foremost, alhamdulillah, the sunnah of our shaykh to discuss sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the importance of it, alhamdulillah, was elaborated by many ulama, mashayikh, during their discourses of their talks and their bayanat. And on one occasion, it is mentioned, Mawla Ilyas rahmatullah Ali, who was in his final stages about to depart on this world. And he was lying down, and he had these khadims, his servants, and he indicated that I got my khuf on, the mozas that pure person wears, that remove it. So every time the khadim came forward to remove the khuf, he withdrew his leg. So again, he put his legs straight. Once again, the khadim wants to take out the khuf. Again, he withdrew his leg. And this carried on a couple times. So the Lord Mawla Hazratji Mawla Yusuf Rahmatullahi explained what is happening over here. So Hazratji said, carry on, show it to me, could demonstrate what you are going to do. So again, he went, they said, oh ho. You all are removing the right khuf first, which is against the sunnah of Jesus. Imagine, even in that halat, he's in the final stages. So he said, remove the left foot first. And then when they removed it, there was no bringing the foot back, etc. Mawla Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that if a person just goes to the toilet, and we all go to the toilet, we need to leave ourselves najasat, etc. But he said the person goes to the toilet, and he does everything according to the sunnah method. That sunnah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so much, he mentioned that this sunnah is even greater than all the glitter and glamour of this entire world. Yeah. All better than all the skyscrapers that we see. All the things of this dunya that is beloved to us, that sunnah of going and redeeming ourselves upon the sunnah is greater than everything. May Allah imbibe within us the beautiful sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as Muhammad Ram Hamsab rahmatullah used to say, that the way of the sunnah, ashal in Arabic also, is the most easiest thing. Do anything, do it the sunnah. Akmal tariqa, the most perfect. Ajmal tariqa, the most beautiful. Yusuf bin Nawawi Ramtullah used to say, that akrab tariqa, the most closest link that you can gain closest to Allah is why the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the whole subject on its own. Nevertheless, the sunnah that I want to mention, alhamdulillah, many of the hujjaj have returned and many hujjaj are returning. And there are certain du'as the person should give to the hujjaj. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned one dua, Allahumma khfil lil hajj wa li man istaghfara lahu al hajj. If a person doesn't know it in Arabic, say it in English. Or in Afrikaans too. What it means, O Allah, forgive the haji and forgive those on whose behalf the haji sought book, forgiveness for. So what a beautiful dua. We are making dua for the haji, they also make dua for us, we also get included, inshallah. And on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a person coming back from hajj. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him three beautiful duas. Yeah, again, the person want to say it in Arabic, well and good. If not, you can say it in English or in Afrikaans, whatever language is comfortable. What is the first dua? Qabila Allah wa hajja. May Allah accept your hajj. The second dua, wa afara dhambak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive your sins. And wa akhlafa nafaqatak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recompense whatever you have spent. So these are the beautiful teachings of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those who judge the other return, we can meet them, give them the duas. And if they still return, better still we go to the airport, embrace them. Ask them to make dua for us, make musa'af over them, it's also a sunnah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah give us a tawfiq inshaAllah. And also the sunnah, this one thing that came to my mind, that on one occasion a certain person from Egypt came to India, one of the great Darul Ulum, Darul Ulum Deoband, and there was a great alim over there, Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi. So he came meal times, and this person was eating with a fork, and he asked Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmiri that why aren't you also eating with a fork? So he said, now tell our mashayikh, our pious people, how they think. That he mentioned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me a natural fork, and he pointed his finger at it. He said, just like a fork that's got pointed, this also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me a natural fork. Then he mentioned some beautiful points. He mentioned, and Azhar also, Ramad Barakatuh, and before we carry on, we should make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Hazrat Sihat Afiyat and keep him with well-being and good health, inshaAllah. One is the person makes dua for a long life. A person in coma also can have long life. A person in theater can have a long life. A person on a life support machine also got life. But we need to supplement it and ask, O Allah, grant Hazrat Afiyat, well-being. And Nabi, this is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for well-being, protection, for salamah, for safety. So we should make dua, not only for Hazrat, for his family as well. Like how we are benefiting from Hazrat, the many, many females that are benefiting, alhamdulillah, from Hazrat's family as well. This morning we are discussing, when Hazrat Shah Hatim Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi came to South Africa, an inqilab happened in our country, a whole total renaissance and a whole total change came about in our country. And one of the bayanats, and we always crack jokes about women, about wives, etc. But a person should look at it a positive aspect, that we shouldn't look down upon our wives. And in the recent majalis, last majlis, Azra started off with this bayan, that make qadr of our wives. Make qadr of them and appreciate whatever they're doing for us. All the khidmat. Tell them jazakumullah. And one Sakari read of this beautiful dua Hazrat gives to his wife. We should learn this dua, say it, and give it, and tell her the wife also. So making jokes, everything is in his place, but in a good spirit. This also you'll find among the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met one Sahabi, and he got married to a widow. So Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why didn't you get married to her? A virgin woman. Tula'ibuka wa tula'ibuki. She will play with you and you play with her. So in a good spirit, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even raised with his wife. ask ourselves, did we ever reach with our wife? We're not asking now, go run in a main highway or Cape Town and now reach with your wife. In a secluded area, in a confined area, reach with your wife. And on two occasions, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. On the first occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha won the first race. So, to practice the Sunnah, let alone that all the races are. You have to understand that. And on the second occasion, you race with her, you can beat her, inshallah. So, I think on the Sunnah, Allah gives the tawfiq, inshallah. And as I mentioned, Hazrat started with his last majlis, he said, Wallah, we got boors with us, thing with us. So, you should make qadr of them. And Hazrat Hakim Sahib gave a beautiful bayan and has been transcribed by the rights of the woman, etc. How many people benefited, how many people changed their lives. We just take it for granted and we look down upon the wife, we scold them for every small thing. But this is the subject on its own, and make qadr and appreciate whatever they do for us. And we always say, the men, they say, we want to rule. But rule, we don't rule with iron first. No, rule with muhabbat, love, shafqat and kindness. And some people say, no, I wear the pants in the house. So one person said that, you know me, I do everything in this house. I wear the pants in the house. So behind the curtain, the wife said, yes, yes, I choose which color, but. So nevertheless, that we should make qadr of our wives. And also one sunnah to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to put a morsel in her mouth. This also is sadaqah. Allah forgive me, you know, when I just got married, and it must be as well. Then I should give her one muscle, she's put one muscle in me. Then sometimes I should take an ilachi and camouflage it with some rice and stuff, and now I put into her mouth and see her reaction. That's all muhabbat. So Allah Ta'ala increase the muhabbat between our spouses, inshallah. So nevertheless, coming back to the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so this person pointed his fingers and he said that this is my fault. And what is the difference between my fork and your fork? In certain points, Hazrat has mentioned, he said, my fork is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it. Your fork is made in China. It will break halfway down the meal. My fork, I can catch that morsel of food very easily. You take your fingers, you can catch it. The forks and the knife, sometimes you're racing this way, that piece of meat is going that way. And your personal experience, you're able to catch that morsel of food. My fork, you can feel the temperature, if it is hot, if it is cold. Your fork, if it's something which is very, very hot, you can burn your tongue. My fork, you put it, and if it hits your gums, or hits your teeth, there's no pain. But your fork, it's a sharp instrument, it can hurt you. My fork, Allah has made it, and we wash it. It's the sunnah of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Many restaurants you go, they don't wash it, they wipe it. And my fork, one lady actually told Hazrat about this, that my fork, that is the fingers, can easily clean the plate. And which is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the plate actually gives you du'as, your fork can't do all these things. So imagine Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, how much of qadr we should make that Allah has given us the natural fork. So the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Second thing, Amilam, we are in Cape Town. Now when a person comes to Cape Town, automatically mind goes to Table Mountain. It goes to all the different landmarks. To Sea Point, to Out Bay, or Signal Hill, Lion's Head, whichever, Robben Island. But as a Muslim, when you come to Cape Town, you should think of the pioneers of the city, of this country. We think of Sheikh Yusuf from Masaka, Rahmatullah Ali, one of the pioneers who brought Islam to this country. We think of Imam Abdullah bin Abdus Salam, better known as Tuan Guru, who was incarcerated, and from memory he wrote the entire Quran of Karim, subhanAllah. Who had established the Uwal Masjid in Bokab, and things have taken place after that. We think of Saleh Abadi, one of the great shuyukh of the Cape Town, how many ulama studied under him, Qurra, etc. And we think of Abdul Rahman Saleh, who was in the forefront when the effort of Dawah started in this province of Cape. And he is assisted by Padre Rahmatullah Ali greatly. What a debt Allah given him, he passed away in the condition of sajda. No. We think of great ulama who have just left our presence now. Mawlana Ibrahim Adam, Mawlana yesterday, what beautiful bayan Mawlana Shaykh Adam gave. And then he mentioned 45 years he gave bayan, and he only spoke on iman and aqeed. What a great alim, what a simple alim. And we think of Mala Yusuf Karaj, all these pious people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate them, grant them Jannah to those. And we come Kirtan, we think of cook sisters, and we think of smoke. But yeah, also we should think about these pious people. And respected brothers, alhamdulillah, during these few days and today, this Tazkiyah Jalsa has taken place. Understand it to be a mobile hospital, as Mufti Sahib read out the differences between the physical sicknesses and the spiritual illnesses. Physical illnesses, a person who suffers, he takes medication, and he mentioned, if he gets shifa, well and good. If not, he's never going to live forever. He'll have to die. But if a person does not make effort on the spiritual maladies, then the day he dies, that's the day his problems start. Why this respect of brothers? Allah mentions regards to Jannah. Allah says, وَذَٰلِكَ جَزَاءُ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. That Jannah is for that person who has made tazkiyah, who has purified himself. So much of effort we are putting into our body. Everything, we train, we go to the gym, we got creams, even men's opening creams, and so much of effort putting onto our body. How much of effort we are putting onto our ruh? And this ruh is going to carry on. It came from Al Marwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the covenant from us, that Alastu bi Rabbikum. Everyone said, Qalu bala, why not? Yes, definitely. But now the ruh came to our in 4 months, whilst in the womb of the mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the ruh into the mother, into the child. And from there we came up into this world. From here the ruh carry on into the qabr and go towards the akhirah as well. This body goes into the qabr. So how much of effort we are putting into our ruh, onto our soul, our spiritual maladies. And as I mentioned, this 2-3 days, this was like a mobile hospital. Like how there are many hospitals, respected ones, for the treatment of any wounds, sores, sicknesses, diseases, person pay millions or thousands of lives for the treatment of whatever sicknesses is. But may Allah save us and protect us from operations and all sicknesses and diseases. But is there any spiritual hospital? Yes, there are. There are very few, but unfortunately, and what are these spiritual hospitals are called? They are called zawiyas. They are called the khankas. They are called buyut, the hujarat. We will find in Makkah al-Mukarramah in those days, our Shaykh Mutlani, when he came here to Cape Town, Allah gave him the topic to listen to the bayan, the Jummah bayan he gave here, and Hazrat emphasized all the different words that are different connotations that are connected to tazkiyah. Example, tasawwuf, tazkiyah, the khanka, hazrat, all these words are from Arabic. These are the Urdu word or some other language. These are all Arabic words, and it's also part of Islam. Like we have different departments. We have departments of the makatib. We have departments of the Darul Ulooms. Alhamdulillah, those who are in the effort of Dawud and Tabligh, then we should try and support it as well. We go after them who are going from country to country, city to city, town to town, meeting brothers for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these efforts are needed and necessary. But let us not forget this one effort of tazkiyatun nafs. And Hazrat always say, we give bayans and we tell the people that we need to make reform ourselves, we need to remove all the spiritual maladies. But where to get it? This is what we call the khankas. And this is also established in the Quran and the hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, I don't want to go into details, Allah mentioned on the website, it is over there, the whole explanations. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu subiru wa sabiru wa rabitu. Under the word rabit. Rabit means to guard the Islamic frontiers or to guard the Islamic borders. There are other different meanings of rabit. For example, a person makes wuzu in difficult conditions, or a person waits one salah for the next salah. So all this also is rabit. And then one rabit also is to guard that gap or that opening where your enemies of nafs and shaitan can attack you. And this word khank, khanka, actually khank means a opening, a gap. And to guard that gap from your enemies of nafs and shaitan, this will be where a person will get this in the khankas. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah An-Nur, fi buyuti. Allah did not mention fi masadi, buyut. Yeah, also there is great hikmat, wisdom. Buyut can mean the masadi. And together on masjids, like how the efforts are taking place, the khankas also need to be established. Buyut, means houses or places where who are made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in great detail, Rijalullah, the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them. Effort is made on their hearts. So alhamdulillah, during these 3 days, and in a hospital we need surgeons. Alhamdulillah, we have, there's no shortage of surgeons here. Mala Abdurrahman Ambak Sahab, Mala Hussain Munab, Mufti Muhammad Desai, Mala Ridwan Kaji, Mala Musta Kaji, Mala Salman, all these were spiritual physicians or experts. It shouldn't be like when a person, for example, now he goes to the fly-by-night doctors. When a person got some sickness, he will go to a proper doctor. He will go to a proper physician. He says that when you pay that amount of the snai, yeah, alhamdulillah, you will not get billed. You don't have to pay anything. Yeah, the service is free of charge. And this is with regards to our success of this world and the qabr and hereafter. Doctors, if they see to you, they will charge you, they will only see to the comfort of whilst you are living, while the ruh is in your body. But these ulama, these mashayikh, alhamdulillah, these are surgeons. Unlike one joke, similar to the joke of Hazrat gives, one person was undergoing operation, and he was pacing up and down, thinking to himself, I'm still young, for a young wife, for young children. And then he was told, now enter the theater, now operation is going to take place. So it's very, very tense. Then after a few moments, a young doctor enters, and thereafter a nurse follows. And now the nurse starts speaking, that don't worry, it will be very, very soon, you'll get over it. By the time you know, it will be over. This is always the first time. So the patient lies down and said, oh, thank you very much, I'm feeling so nice. So the nurse says, excuse me, I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to the doctor. This is first operation. So now what happened to the poor person? So these are Alhamdulillah mashayikh. And whenever you feel comfortable with establish some islahi, ta'alluq, well and good, it is for our own benefit, as I mentioned. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. And this, what is required is that brothers, is the nur of taqwa. My time is almost up. Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah has mentioned, if you look at the fire of Ibrahim, when he was put into the fire, the Nahr and Namrud, when Namrud are put into the fire, what had extinguished the fire? He mentioned that it was the nur of Allah in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's heart, the nur of taqwa. And he said one portion of that fire is the Nahr Shahwat. Nahr Shahwat means that evil desires that we have within us. And what will extinguish that? It is the nur of that piety that we will have, and this will be transferred from those people who have that nur, who have that fire of nur and Allah Ta'ala's love and recognition and marifat in their hearts. This inshallah, the sitting in their company, this will be transferred to our hearts as well. And this inshallah, nur will extinguish and efface and remove all the darkness and dispel all the darkness in our life. This mentioned is one waqiyah inshallah. Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi also gives the example. He mentions, look, take a lesson from the moon. He said, the moon, such a beautiful moon, illuminating moon at night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Ishan, He created the moon. The night is not so dark. And He created a moon as a dimmer. Like how when a person goes to sleep, now he doesn't want to go to darkness, so he puts a dimmer. Allah put a natural dimmer for us in a form of a moon. But the moon does not enjoy its own light. This nur of the moon and this light of the moon is borrowed from the sun. Then he mentions that when the earth rotates around the sun, and when it becomes in between the sun and the moon, then the shade of the earth falls onto the moon, causing the moon to become eclipsed, become dark. So then he mentions the parable over here. He said, we as believers, we got that nur in our hearts. And the nur, just like that nur is getting the light of the sun, we are getting the nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of ibadah, the staying away from gunas. And like how when the earth comes between the sun and the moon, when shaitan and nafs comes between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the inherent quality of nafs and shaitan is zulamat and darkness. So this also causes our hearts to become dark. And those people who are involved perpetually in sins, they are drowning in sins. Then, just like how you get a total eclipse, these hearts become very, very blackened. So a total eclipse of the heart takes place. Then you get some people, alhamdulillah, they are conscious of the commandments of Allah. At the same time, they make gunas. So they also experience, that we experience a partial eclipse. So this noor that we have in our hearts, we need to protect it. No sooner we are noor, then when the person commits sin, then darkness comes, and this destroys the noor in the heart. So we need to establish the noor. As I mentioned, where will we get this noor? Where will we get this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is from the mashayikh. And the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of tahajjud, Allahumma ij'alni noora, Allahumma ij'al fi qalbi noora, wa fi sam'i noora, wa fi basari. Every, I become environment of noor. Allahumma ij'alni noora. That when you walk, as I mentioned, the whole subject on his own, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, أَوَ مَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. That he walks with this noor. Not only does, when a person walks with a torch, he can't say, I don't want other people to benefit. Naturally, other people will benefit. They will also see the road. They also see what's before them. The darkness will be expelled. When a person has the noor, he will walk, and people will walk behind him and benefit from the noor. There was one person who came to one sheikh, and he told him, Hazrat, you know, unfortunately I got involved with a certain girl, and I want to get out of it. So that the sheikh told him, that do me a favor at the time of tahajjud, cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make two rakats, rakam sheikh, definitely I will do that. Then he said, what dua should I make? He said, no, the sunnah dua you must make. Allahumma aj'al fi basari noora, wa fi sam'i noora, wa fi qalbi noora. All really noor. And the youngster started crying. So Hazrat thought, oh, my dua is so effective. He already started crying. So he's sobbing and he's crying. So he asked, what's wrong? He said, Hazrat, her name is Noora. Girl, I'm interested in. Now you're telling me, put Noora in my heart, in my eyes, everywhere. So nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the tawfiq of making amal of what has been said, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant great thanks and also ajr as azim to all those who have hosted us, Brother Imran, Muhammad, and those who made khidmat, Muhammad Zubair, and Brother Hafiz Umar Rubiya, Muhammad Bayat, all so many names, Allah rewarded abundantly. And we cannot do anything, we cannot do justice. We ask Allah, Jazakumullah khairan. And we, all these du'as that Hazrat normally reads to the host, may Allah grant you the barakat of these du'as. And normally we read on the number page CA. And we can see, even Hazrat Abad Ginya, if I was in Imran's case, I would be devastated. Hazrat Abad not coming to the Jalsa. But we understand as Hazrat's blessings are with us, his du'as are with us, his tawajjuh is focused upon us. So CA, what a beautiful meaning, what a correct attitude we have got, the caring attitude, and very welcoming and warm people, Allah, we are responded to that people and that.